Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the first ever episode of Time and Room Podcast, brand new podcast all about lacrosse, featuring my great friend, Coach Dane Smith. Dane, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. Good to be here. Been talking about it for about a year now, so I'm glad we've the quarantine's got us pulling it off.
Yeah, we finally decided we had to do it. Now, Dane is, of course, he's the head lacrosse coach at St. Andrew's Episcopal in Potomac, Maryland. My name is Eric Bickle. My real job is I'm the co-host of the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. and NBC Sports Washington. Here's the deal. I'm a lacrosse zero. I don't know anything about it. I can't cradle. My son goose on me when I throw. But I absolutely fell in love with the game when my son Steven took it up when he was about 9 years old. I love it. I think it's the greatest game ever. I wish I played it. Steven played for Dane at St. Andrews, and now because of Dane, largely, he plays for Keegan Wilkinson at Marist. Dane, though, is the real lacrosse guy here. Dane's the guy with the credibility, and let me pump his tires. That's a phrase I learned from Dane a little bit. Yeah. So Dane came from the lacrosse hotbed in Ohio. Public school kid. Yeah. But he actually played for a legend, right? Bear Davis.
In college, I played for Bear. Even you could say a playing legend in Anthony Kelly at Hilliard. I mean, our public school was terrible, but Anthony was at the time was playing for the Riptide and was a young guy, and then ended up playing 14, 15 years in the MLL. So, and he runs a club team out in Resolute. So,
and we'll get him on the show.
We'll get him on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, they call him the train. He's like 6'4". He's a face-off guy. I mean, at one point he had the fastest shot in the MLL. So big dude. He was my high school coach. We were not very good. Nothing against him. We just weren't that talented. But the hotbed of Ohio. It's gotten a lot better. Lacrosse is a lot better in Ohio than it was when I was there. But I somehow found my way to Robert Morris, and I would pull some of those words back. I wouldn't say I'm a guru, but I would say that I was a very hard worker and found my way to being a pretty good player in college.
Well, that's the thing, that's what I loved about Dane when I first met him. So Dane explained this to me because I didn't know the history of Robert Morris at all. But he said, "Look, when I got there, I didn't play that much. I was a walk on, but he kept grinding. Ended up being voted a 2-time captain. Right? I looked up your stats. He played in 53 games, including 43 straight to end your career. Yeah. You were a short stick D mini." Absolutely loved it.
My players. That's why I always get mad when people get injured, because I was like, I played in 43, so somehow you got to be able to make it work. But yeah, I mean, I was a grinder. I would never say that I was. There are so many better players than me, but I definitely tried to work very, very hard and tried to do the little things right. And being a captain those 2 years, that was the big thing. So that's what fueled probably my coaching was doing that, right? Is figuring out how to lead and maybe not how to lead. I'm sure I didn't always do it right when I was 21, 22 years old, but that's what kind of fueled my passion. We talk about all the time culture and all that stuff that we try to establish at St. Andrews and that, Stevie was a big part of as a player. So, those were the glory years. And it was the same thing as what we try to do with St. Andrews over the past 5 years is not only was a walk-on and then started, playing and making an impact both on and off the field, but our team at that point, we'd only been a Division I program for like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
We were 4-10 or only won 4 games my first year. And my last 2 years were nationally ranked and, 3 straight winning seasons. And, credit to Bear and his staff as well. So, Bear went on to, win an MLL title and stuff like that at the Ohio Machine. So he's done a great job too.
Right. And what drew me to Dane right away, because when I met you, So when Steven was going through the high school process and we were trying to figure out the right fit for him and everything, and there are so many great schools to choose from here,
yeah.
right? And actually our mutual friend, who's like family to both of us now, D. Smith, the executive director of the NFLPA,
yeah.
told me, he said, listen, you got to check out St. Andrews, where his son Alex, who now is a starting D-mitty for the Terps, homegrown from St. Andrews. He said, you got to consider this. We just hired this guy, Dane Smith. He's fantastic. I'd never even heard of St. Andrews. I mean, honestly.
Well,
and
neither did I.
I mean, right.
The funny thing is I was coaching. So I played Rob Morris, and I ended up short stint at Division III coaching 1 year at Mount Lebanon High School in PA as an assistant. And then when I was an assistant at Robert Morris for 2 years, just getting married, whatever. And my wife was from out this area. And long story short, D is the guy that essentially hired me at St. Andrews.
Right.
I had to Google. I mean, I'm a kid from Ohio, and played in Pittsburgh. I didn't know who D. Smith was.
Right.
And I tell them that story all the time. But yeah, he was the one that first called me and said, hey, you know, we're trying to improve things here. My son's one of the better players. And he wasn't lying. Alex was a stud. That was a good one to build a program around. But yeah, D was I'm glad D did that. And you
was the glue.
Stevie ended up being essentially my first, you know, they don't like us to use the word recruiting in the private school scene, but
that's what it is.
Everyone's doing it. Everyone's
that's what it is.
So Stevie was my first recruit. And
right.
Boy, was he a big one.
Well, and here's the thing. And so I've been hosting, co-hosting the radio show with my boys for almost 25 years now. And we used to have a great relationship with Gene Upshaw when he was the executive director of the NFLPA for years. And, you know, I thought when Gene tragically passed, I thought, well, that'll be it for our relationship with the NFLPA. But then D came along and he's been fantastic. And we'd have him on the show all the time. And when we found out that we both had this sort of, both had kids that played lacrosse, he knew
both
that I was
like to talk a lot.
Exactly. And he found out that that I was looking and my background, I came from DeMatha High School. I was a nothing there. I played tennis there. But, both of my brothers went to DeMatha. One of my brothers teaches there. I always assumed he would go. That's a great school. I love it. I have so much pride. But I wasn't necessarily sure it was the right fit for my son, particularly where we live and the drive and the commute and, just everything, a lot of factors. But when I met you, Dane, at that time you were what, 25 years old? How old were you?
Yeah, I was, I think I got hired 24, 25.
Like yeah.
30, 31 now, and this is my 6th year at St. Andrews. So
you had almost the same amount of gray hair.
I know. Trust me. My teammates in college, we did gag gifts. I got just for men gray when I was 22 years old. So
right,
nothing the players did. It's just unfortunately, I'm like you. Look at you. That's why you were at all.
Dude, I look like Jay Leno, but I'm like double your age. But so I meet Dane and I'm like, oh my god, this guy's 25 years old, but he's a lot older than he looks, a lot more mature. And here's what I think. I don't know, Dane. We've never talked about this because it's kind of weird, but. But Dane and I both, we're passionate guys. We both wear our emotions on our sleeves. And we just hit it off right away.
Yeah.
And as soon as I met Dane and I had, I'm being like this lacrosse dad trying to find the right fit for my kid academically and athletically. And I'm trying to arrange workouts everywhere. And that all seemed to go well. You seemed to like Stevie. But I just came to my wife and I said, man, I just love this guy. This guy's going to be fantastic.
Right.
And
we
just hit it off from there.
I know that's the whole reason we are where we're at now right now is because we've been doing these kind of conversations for every week for 5 years. My wife calls you my work boyfriend, and I don't even work with you.
I know. And so. It's strange. I guarantee other parents were probably upset that you and I were so close, but it wasn't intentional or wasn't like favoritism or anything. Like we just hit it off.
And I was a little guarded about that too, because I was always, I'm always very try to be aware of, I want to have great relationships with all our parents, but if I ever felt like I got to a situation where I was like, man, this guy is maybe using me in order to get his son to play or whatever. I mean, the writing, anyone that watched our games knew that Stevie was going to play and that those, that he was going to make a big impact. And you, I've said this to you all the time. It's like your intentions were always in the right spot. Like, what can we do to get St. Andrews like up to another level? You're the one that's putting the, you get crushed sometimes on the radio by your boys because you got the sticker on the screen. You're making your wife's making our schedule poster. I mean,
we just Gina love it.
Eric's wife is our graphic designer. I mean,
she's gonna be the producer of this show. By the way, we just named her that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't figured out her salary yet, but yeah, she'll produce the show. And, but yeah, I mean, no, we hit it off, but I mean, you know, I've said this so many times. I didn't think we had a chance in hell of getting Steven, you know,
right.
I mean, at that point we were selling really hopes and dreams. And that's, I go back to, I've said this a lot of times with people in our program, your family was the first to take a chance. And that's all it takes in recruiting, is you get one kid to kind of buy in and believe. And,
right.
and then all of a sudden, you know, he talks to his buddies, at least locally at the high school level. College level, it's still the same way too, though. I mean, you got, you know, certain college teams are going to recruit from certain club teams, and it's going to help if you get, you know, Johnny, who's a great player, but he's also friends with these two other guys, going to try to pull him that way as well. So
right.
Stevie was the first kind of cookie to crumble. And then eventually we got some pretty good players, you know, and it eventually turned out to a couple championships. So
yeah, but it's an amazing run, and we had such a great time for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I don't know anything about lacrosse other than I have fallen in love with it. And you know, Dane's got a young girl, Emma, and he's got another one on the way.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to be the exact same way I am. Whatever your kids love, you're going to love. You know, two of my daughters, one, they both have dived, they both have swam. I didn't care about any of that stuff, but when my kids are doing it, I'm all in. My two daughters play volleyball, all in. When my kid picked up lacrosse, now I'm all in, and I just love the game. And you and I talk all the time, and we said we should just do a podcast or something, you know?
No, and now we're here, and so.
Yeah, so excited.
Glad we're doing it. Like you said, it took a bad situation, but we're trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the whole quarantine thing, right? Like, talk about sort of like what that impact has been like for you as a coach. I know, I mean, I feel so bad for these kids, especially the seniors.
That's where you got to start. I mean, it's like, yes, like what's it been like for me as a coach? I mean, it's been devastating, obviously, for us all. But then you also got to put it in perspective of, you know, what's going on in the world. People are dying. So
right.
It's all relative, but I mean, since this is a lacrosse podcast, we'll focus on what it has done to, I guess, our profession. And but like you said, I mean, the kids is just, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. So I'm not a big emotional guy. I mean, I am emotional in the sense where I'm passionate and fiery, but when it comes to like crying and tears, not that I'm super tough, but I just, you know, typically hold things in, and I can count on hands how many times, count on fingers how many times I've, you know, kind of broken down when I had to tell my team, you know, like, this is it, essentially, on what, March 13th, you know, we had played one game. We didn't even play well.
Right.
We had a young team starting four freshmen, you know, eight seniors, you know, and some seniors that hadn't seen a lot of playing time, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, those guys gave us everything they had. And then a couple seniors that were going on, they're going on to play college. One in particular, and you know, this kid, I mean, a 2-year captain, has given us everything. And like,
right.
I mean, to look at that kid and, you know, I couldn't help but break down. And I've seen other things on, it was inside lacrosse or other lacrosse kind of coverage stuff. I mean, coaches said it's one of the hardest things you've ever had to do.
Right.
Because when you play in college, you play in high school, you know, it's going to end, and it doesn't make it any easier.
Right.
But like I told my guys, like, you have control in a sense, right? Like, I lost in college. I lost double overtime, I think, in the semifinal of our conference championship game. That was my last game as a player. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, can tell you I bawled uncontrollably.
Who was, you know, that against?
Like a baby. I just knew it was over, and I was just like, man, I'm going to miss this.
Who was it against?
Quinnipiac.
Right.
Lightning delay. Right. We were up, I think, 3 or 4 goals, and then it was at Mount St. Mary's. They were hosting, and Lightning delay came out, and they just – they pumped a few in, and then went into double overtime. We were man up. They scored on man up.
Oh.
I can tell. We tried to pull pass back to the top of the
– right.
Like near the top of the box, and it went over his head, and they just fast break, just, you know, stopped their feet like 15 yards and scored. So
kind of like what happened to us against Flint Hill a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that was – I mean, that was a terrible call, but yeah. I won't get into that.
Right.
That's when you talk about D had to remind him – D Smith had to remind himself that he was a – you know, had a pretty high profile job.
Yeah, had to mellow out.
He was ready to go on that field. But no, I mean, this pandemic has been crazy. It's obviously, we're all, you know, enthroned and like watching it and stuff. But lacrosse is just on a standstill. It's been our life. Like you said, I mean, for you, it's as a parent, and your son's now at home, you know,
right,
you know, playing video games and not with his team. And, you know,
and they were devastated. I mean, absolutely devastated.
Having a great year, right?
Yeah.
And having a huge year.
Beat Army.
Yeah, I mean, ridiculous.
But could have beaten Richmond. I only lost by a goal or two.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do to tell them that. And then, you know, now we're in this limbo of trying to, you know, keep them motivated and keep them engaged, like all college coaches are doing right now with their teams. And then you have the young guys that don't develop. I mean, the effects of it is crazy, but I think it starts and stops with like those seniors, especially high school seniors. So if you look at like the NCAA, and we'll talk about this in a second, but it's like high school seniors for a lot of these kids, you know, what I don't know what the statistic is, I think it's 98% of kids don't go on to play college athletics.
Right.
So it's like, this is it. This is their time to shine. This is their moment. This is their everything. And it's like, it's over.
Yeah.
Whereas now the NCAA says, all right, hey, all these kids can come back if they want, for the most part, right? It's not all across the board. And even the high school seniors that I have that are playing in college, at least they get to go now and play in college.
Right.
Right. But
and especially with lacrosse too, because I mean, let's be honest, it's almost like football. It's like when you're done playing, whatever level that is, you're pretty much done because you're not playing pickup football. You know what I mean? Now, it's gotten a little bit better with lacrosse, you know, with some summer league stuff.
But it's not the same.
But we know it's a joke. It's not the same. And so for when a kid, you know, isn't able to go out the right way, whether it's in high school or college, just absolutely brutal. I mean, I know Steven told me when they finally got the word that it was over for Marist, I mean, those guys were devastated. I mean, they were crying and hanging out for 2 days.
Like, I mean, some kids, I don't know where you were at with it, but I was kind of like, we're fine, right? Like, we're going to be okay. Maybe we'll be, you know, I mean, even think back to when we told the kids that we had to leave school or whatever. I thought we maybe would come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I knew we were cooked.
Yeah, I know. But you've been,
I'm always negative.
I know. But you've been on it since the beginning. But yeah. But your anxiety is high. We'll get into that, I'm sure, at some time.
Yeah.
Talk about from a parental standpoint. But it all comes from a good place. But yeah, so I mean, I guess I didn't know the depths of it, but I mean, I talked to, you know, Alex at Maryland, you know, those guys, I texted him just right away when I knew that it happened, and it kind of just said,
right,
you know, 5-1 Maryland's always got a chance to win a national title.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I know they just played a close game with Albany and see a couple of our players, you know, playing that game, but he was said the same thing. His players were devastated in the locker room, you know, guys are bawling their eyes out, and these are like tough guys. I mean, lacrosse is a tough sport, and
That's not the culture.
No, it's not the culture. but it is the culture in the sense that people care.
Brotherhood.
Like, we want to do this. Like, it's an amazing sport, and it's such a niche sport that if you play it or if you're involved in it, you not only know everyone that is involved in it, but like you have this like common bond. And so it sucked, dude. It sucked. We're all trying to make the best of it, I guess. And you know, I worry about our team being so young. I worry about the seniors, and I worry about the young guys. We're trying to figure out, can we practice this summer? Can we?
Right. Yeah, because I think, who knows?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, we don't know.
I mean, club season. Really, I have my nephew. You know my nephew. He plays, and his spring season was wiped
out.
Another
one that we're going to try to get. Yeah.
the summer, I mean, who knows how club lacrosse is going to deal with all of this?
Yeah.
I'm worried about fall. I'm worried about fall sports at the Division I level and high school level.
Right, I mean, I think the only blessing is that lacrosse is the spring, but fall ball's big.
Fall ball's big.
Yeah. We just read, three articles. You know, every article comes out every day. We can come back in September, or we come back in January or whatever. So who knows what will happen. But
here's what's terrifying about it, Dane, and I almost don't want to talk about it because I don't want to give it life, but here's the reality of the situation. Lacrosse is a non-revenue sport. You have Title IX for all the good that it's brought, right, for women's athletics.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of pressure on the other sports and the financial resources that are out there. And if football season gets compromised at some of these big schools, right, that's the big money generator.
Yeah.
The sports that are going to suffer if they have to cut are going to be the male non-revenue generating sports. And I didn't play college lacrosse, but I love it just as much as you do, I promise. And we want to see this game grow. And if we start, I mean, we're working so hard, right, as a lacrosse community to get more and more Division I schools playing lacrosse. If they start cutting some because of this, that's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for the sport.
Yeah. No, I know. And I mean, not to add fuel to the fire, but there was just an article today talking about schools asking for basically a little bit of forgiveness about, you know, how many games they have to play and all that kind of stuff, because
cut down expenses.
In March Madness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, Old Dominion cut their wrestling.
Cincinnati cut their soccer.
With Cincinnati cut their soccer. You probably read the same article I did.
I didn't even read it because it scares me too much.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing is it's not like for lacrosse. Yes, it's a big roster, but you're looking at 12.6 scholarships.
Right.
You have a lot of philanthropic families.
Right.
It is a good sport to have at your school in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Now it is a big ad because of the Title IX factor. That's why you don't see more Division I schools. That's why you don't see Pac-12 schools have it. That's why you don't see SEC schools have it. So it's not like you're like, where soccer, there's 300 Division I teams. So those are easy cuts. There's a lot.
Right. Right. And I don't want to see those kids lose that either.
I don't either. I'm not saying that, but lacrosse is only 70 plus, you know, teams. So it's like, they don't have that many options.
I think that, honestly, I think the big established ones, it's just my gut. I know nothing. I mean, I couldn't know less. But my guess would be the established ones, the ones that come from the lacrosse hotbeds, those will be okay. But I think there could be some on the fringe that haven't necessarily really established themselves yet on Division I level that they could be in trouble.
Yeah.
The bottom end of the power rankings.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Robert Morris, like, you know, that would be a team. So, I mean, when I was a coach there, we went through cuts. We went from 23 Division I sports to 17.
Right.
I was kind of scared a little bit at one point. And, you know, we had been pretty successful. But it's Division I A football. And I was like, just cut the football team. Right. We'll be fine. But they're doing better now. So
there are a lot of Division I football programs that aren't revenue generating.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're actually a drain on resources.
Like does Marist have football?
They do have football.
So, like, I mean, I'm not like promoting cutting football here, but I'm just saying, like, when you look at Division 1A, are they Division 1 or Division 1A?
I think 1A, but I mean, I would lop those off in 2 seconds before the others. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, just because that's an easy, but hopefully it doesn't come to that. I mean,
I don't want to see anybody lose their opportunity.
I mean, being a student athlete is, I preach that to all our guys at St. Andrews just because, not only because I love the sport and I want those guys to play it at the highest level they can, but more importantly, because it's ridiculous for does so much for your time management, for your growth as a young man.
No question.
Or young woman. I don't want anyone to lose that. But it's all, there's so much unknown. I mean, look what's happening. So, like, we talked about this before, but I mean, it started at the top, right? We said, all right, how's it affecting us? And I don't even know how it's going to affect my guys yet. The answer is like unknown because college kids haven't made their decisions on where they're going to transfer, what they're going to do with the portal. You know, every kid gets an extra year of eligibility essentially.
Right.
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 So, I mean, like, what's your son going to do?
He's dying to come back. I don't know if Keegan knows it, but he's dying. He's dying to use that extra year. But also, by the same token, and I've been honest with my son about this too, and you know, that's 3 years from now. You don't know how you're going to feel. I mean, I hope he wants to come back, and I support him. You know, as long as his academics are good and he's on track to graduate or maybe work on his master's at that point, that's great. But you know, there are going to be guys that, you know, 4 years in, they're going to be seniors that already have a job opportunity. Lacrosse, you're not getting full rides unless you're an absolute beast face-off guy or the next Paul Rabel. So, you know, the financial implications for lacrosse guys, it's not a no-brainer to come back.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer from yes, I want to do it and
be part of
a
team.
Play lacrosse. Yeah. I want to be with my the boys and everything like that. I would, of course, jump on that. But there's so much more that goes into it, too. I mean, you see some of these guys, maybe it's their sixth year. Maybe they got injured.
Yeah.
And they're deciding, you know, do I want to come back for my sixth year? And 3 years down the road, you don't know where you're going to be at. I've always talked to you about if you can use lacrosse to get your master's, you should do that, right?
Right.
Whether that means a red shirt, whether that means, doing a GA somewhere so they pay for your master's, whatever it is, like use the sport as long as you can to help, you know, kind of get where you're going. But so we'll see. I think it starts with the seniors, right? And what they're going to do. And then that affects not only those juniors, sophomores, and freshmen that are on the team, but then that class of 2020 that's coming in. Now, those kids are already signed, and they're on there. They've signed their NLIs, so, you know, their rosters are going to be big. The NCAA has given them the ability to have bigger rosters.
Right.
And then now some schools are saying, you know, I know not just lacrosse, but you saw, like, what, it was at Wisconsin, some other schools are saying, we're not going to let our spring athletes come back.
Yeah, which is kind of bizarre. I don't understand why. I guess they just don't want to deal with the crunch. I mean, it does create a crunch with the new kids coming in, and it's squeeze. There's no doubt about it.
And we definitely know that. We have no idea what it's going to do, though. Like, it's going to be – it's. I mean, just like this virus is going to affect us more yeah. than just the next 6 months. It's going to affect us for years, health-wise and economically. Right. Same thing with lacrosse. Like, these 21s, these 2022s, I mean, I'm trying to work with my 21s right now, a couple, you know, Division I tracking kids, and it's like
– it's hard to get looks.
But they're on the bubble. They yeah. Are we going to play – are we going to play this summer? Right. You know, are, you know, can coaches recruit? Right now, none of the kids can take visits till May 31st, at least. That's the earliest, but I'm sure they're going to push that back.
I mean, schools aren't even open, right? You can't go to the school.
No. I mean, it's a dead period. They made it a dead period, so they can't. All you can do is call a kid. You can FaceTime them.
Right.
Them, but beyond that, so. So, I mean, it starts with these seniors making the decisions. And then, you know, I've been telling people, and I have no – there's no statistical data. I have no idea. But I would say on average, I've had a guess – like 3 to 4 kids per team.
That's what I would guess too.
Seniors are going to say, I'm coming back.
Now, maybe like an elite school, like a UVA or Penn State, where you're right on the brink of something.
Yeah.
You might get
a couple more. Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, Maryland or something. But yeah, I think the average school got a couple.
Right. And those big state schools, the other thing is they all have graduate programs.
Right.
So it's like, it's easy for those kids. There's some schools, you look at some of the Patriot League schools, they have very few, graduate school programs, right? You know, a bunch of Colgate kids are transferring, or at least, you know, entering the portal doesn't mean they'll end up somewhere. Maybe they'll end up just graduating with their undergrad and be done. But and you got Ivy League that doesn't let anyone,
right?
You know, have grad. There's no graduate school. It's just, you know, you can't withdraw. I mean, you can't.
You feel so bad for those kids too, like the Sowers kid or somebody who wants to just come back, finish where he started with his guys. It's so brutal.
He seems like a great kid too, because he's basically like, I would do anything. I don't want to go anywhere else.
Right. These are my guys.
These are my guys. I want to win a national title at Princeton.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I haven't read it too much as far as like what the school's thoughts were. I understand they want the academics to come first. They don't want someone to withdraw and then.
Right.
But they let Pinnell do it.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was probably a loophole that they wanted to close.
Right.
And they couldn't close it before he did it.
Right.
Sowers, I mean, he will get a full ride, I'm sure, somewhere.
Yeah, he'll go wherever he wants, but it's not there. And eventually, they'll be his guys. But, you know, that takes time, man.
Yeah, it takes time, and we'll be the same, too. I mean,
it's not the same.
When you're 25, too, or 24, whatever, like, you know, by the time you're a senior in college, you end up being a lot you're different than those 18, 19-year-old kids that are just there to, like, they're just so enamored by being a Division I lacrosse player, and like they're just
right.
You're more about business, and not that you don't have a good time, which those guys definitely do. But who knows? As a 1 year transfer, you coming in, you living off campus, you living with two guys, you living with, so it won't be the same. But I'm sure you see that, and he can go and win a national title somewhere, and that would be pretty cool. So
now here's the thing: I'm just guessing, just as a human being, if you put your name in the portal, that's not a good look for you with your current team. There's almost no coming back from that, right? Unless you have an extraordinary coach and you guys are on the same page.
If
you put your name in there, you're pretty much out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get nervous just talking about it because I've had, you know,
right.
I've had my own high school players talk to me about that process, and some have put their names in the portal, some haven't. And the way I approach it with our guys is, do you really want to do this? You know, because certainly, yes, they can come back.
Right.
By rule. But as a coach, and I say it all the time, I don't have the luxury at St. Andrews as much as some of these other Division I coaches to be like, I want guys that want to be here. Right.
Right.
Like at these Division I levels, like you get a pick of the cream of the crop. And if you don't want to be here, that's fine. We'll go find someone else that does.
Right. Unless you're like one of the two or three best in the country, they'll just find somebody else just like you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but I think if it comes down to if you're clear and you're basically on a, you know, on a good page with your coach, I'm sure, you know, I mean, you know, look back when Alex, you know, entered the portal from Hartford, you know, he's now at Maryland. We mentioned him, D's son. You know, Alex was a starter for them. He did everything they asked. He worked his butt off. You know, a lot of kids that enter the portal, and I don't want to just assume, but not every kid is there because they were a great, you know, addition to that team, right? Maybe it wasn't the right fit. Maybe they didn't blend into the culture. Maybe they're
could be a million reasons.
Maybe they ain't mad because they didn't get any playing time.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So that's like the college coach's job to figure out, well, why are you in the portal?
Right.
And that's like the first question. And for, you know, take his example, it's, well, because, you know, it just wasn't the right fit, but he did everything
right.
They asked, no off-field issues and things like that. So, no, but it's hard to go back. But I mean, the portal wasn't around when I was coaching or when I was playing. So it's definitely, you know, it's like free agency, especially now with these Ivy League kids. It's like,
I mean, it's the wild, wild west right now, right?
Oh yeah. Right now, and that's why I've told it's a bad time if you're just like a normal transfer. If you're just a kid like, hey, I went to college, I played a year at, you know, whatever Division I program, I didn't love it, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to transfer. That right. portal is packed.
Right. This is maybe not the year to do it if you're like, you know, a good kid, but you're not a stud.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to go after the kids that have proved themselves at the Division I level.
Right.
Right. Or even the Division III level. There's a bunch of high level Division III players.
Right.
Some of these, you know, top 15 programs in the country that, you know, have finished their 4 years, but have an extra year of eligibility. And like, if I'm those kids, this is me personally speaking, I'm like, all right, I played 4 years of Division III, and I've played with Division III kids. I mean, they're just as good as Division I players a lot of time, you know, depending on what program or
right.
It's just the issue of depth is right. the difference between those teams. But the best players at Amherst a lot of times would be really good players at other schools as well. So
no doubt
you see those kids now have options. So that's a whole nother thing that's really never happened.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be wild to see. I assume the biggies, you know, the Tillmans and the Lars Tiffany's and those guys, they'll get their pick of the guys.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But,
oh yeah.
You know, it's going to be fascinating
Tillman
to see.
Tillman does a good job with transfers. For
yeah,
sure.
He's big on that. Like, he's notorious
for that. They fill the stable all the time.
Yeah, he's relentless.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, the other thing that helps him is, you know, a lot of these kids that, you know, look at the most recent transfer he got coming back from Yale. He's played at St. Mary's right down the road. Like, it's not only that he's relentless and a great recruiter and he's got a great culture there, but it's those kids leave the state, right?
Right.
And if they're unhappy, the very first place they look –
right.
is I'm going to come back home.
Right.
Right. I mean, we're in a state where, you know, you can argue it, but it's one of two or three best, you know,
well,
lacrosse places in the entire country.
Oh, no doubt about it. And also, let's be honest, finances probably play a factor in it too, because if you're from around here, lacrosse hotbed, you go somewhere else and you're getting 10 or 15K, whatever you're getting, but your parents still have to pay 40K or whatever. You come back to Maryland, you're not, you know, what's the in-state at Maryland? And coach could give you, you know, a couple G's and you're good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, no,
I mean, he's got a nice setup over there.
Yeah, exactly. I think his brother's, verbally committed there as well. So, yeah,
right.
I mean, the big dogs will end up at the obviously really, really high level schools, but you're going to see some other kids that have maybe been studs at, you know, Merrimack or Jacksonville or
right.
Georgetown or, you know, obviously Georgetown's a little bit higher of a profile, but, you know, you're going to see seniors from those teams maybe find their way on big time teams as well.
Right.
So we'll see. And then you also see, I'm sure, seniors that'll stay and say, hey, I want to do it. And then there's other kids that, I know Nick Mellon, the defenseman from Syracuse, is not coming back. I think it would have been his sixth year. So he's, you know, got a job lined up or whatever it is. And so he doesn't do that. Okay. You know, but there is a crunch. That's the thing. Like, down to the high school level, like I'm talking about 21s, my 2021s, which are juniors right now, like post-grads are probably like licking their chops right now. They're like, you can't go to college right now. There's no room for you.
Mm-hmm.
Come to IMG or come to Culver and we'll make you a 22, or you can become,
right.
you know, or if you're a 22, become a 23.
How plausible is that for kids? Like, let's say you're a borderline D1 kid. Like, there's no question you have the talent, but there's a lot of talented kids out there. Just need, you know, you need to have an advocate and you need to have the right guy believe in you. How plausible is it to find, a post-grad school where you can play, excel, and then really get good looks?
I mean,
and you don't have to pay 80 grand.
That last part is tough. That last
right.
part is tough. I mean, they're expensive, right? I mean, and now they do, I work in admissions at St. Andrews. So what do you call it? A scholarship? Maybe they do. I don't know whatever, every school does things differently. You could call it financial aid. You can mm-hmm. call it merit. There's ways to make things affordable for families, but if you're a borderline D1 kid, are you someone that they're doing that for, or
right.
you know what I mean? And or are you a stud for them? You know what I mean? And going there because they recruited you, just like, you know, local high schools do in this area. And maybe, yeah, they work out a deal or whatever it is, but, so it's plausible financially. I mean, that's tough. I mean, I got a buddy that coaches up at Trinity Pauling. I mean, he called me this summer about one of our players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Saying, hey, is he any good for you? I said, yeah, he's our starter. Don't call him again. and I give him credit for giving me a call and asking me.
Right.
Some of those guys are doing the same thing that we're trying to do, is trying to, get good players. And a lot of them have these boarding schools have boarding or post-grad schools have, you know, great like legacy, you know, look at the Founders League and some of these, some of these Deerfield, you know, Avon Old Farms, like, I mean,
so crazy programs. Cause I never thought, I just never thought like they actively recruit too. I just figured you seek them out, but no, that's crazy. Of course they're probably seeking out kids. No, how do they know who to target?
They go to club, they go to club events
and they just know who's under recruited.
That, or, you know, maybe it's connections, right? You talk to high school coaches just like myself and saying, hey, you know, if I have a buddy, you know, my teammate is a head coach at Avon Old Farms.
Yeah.
If I have a kid that I feel like is getting under recruited, the first person I'm calling is Keith Lee at Avon Old Farms and saying, hey, Keith, like, I got a kid who would be a stud for you. He just needs to reclass.
Right.
You know, and
he
then
just
you
needs
have
an extra year. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but then you look at like Culver, are they recruiting 100%? But they're also at this point, because they're so successful, probably deciphering between, you know, kids they want and don't want. You know what I mean? But it's also high school. They want kids to come in. So it's not like they're going to say no. They just might say, you can't be on our varsity team. And, you know, IMG's got a couple different teams.
Right.
So I'm sure IMG's not saying you can't come. They're saying, yeah, you can come. Just don't know if you're going to be on our top team.
Right.
You know, our national team or whatever.
Right.
So, it's uncharted waters, man. Uncharted waters. I don't know what the heck is going to happen, and I just want to get our sport back. I mean, like, I'm sitting here. I mean, going to the wall once a week. I don't even play. I can't even. I play men's league and play in the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League in the fall. But you know, I'm not playing competitively. I'm never played in the pros. But I find myself playing wall ball like 4 days a week right now.
First time you haven't coached in a decade, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first time I haven't been on a field in the spring since I was 13.
Yeah.
You know, 18 years. I mean, I started playing lacrosse when I was in eighth grade, and kids in Maryland, you know, started playing a lot younger than that. But like I said, I was from Ohio, played soccer and played other sports, and ended up playing because my brother played in high school and thought it would be cool if I picked it up in eighth grade. But I'm actually surprised how well I am doing. I thought I would have, you know,
lost it by now.
You know, just parked my car in the garage or something. But no, it's been fine in the sense I have a daughter and she keeps me busy and I always tell my guys, I mean, we focus on all, you know, our four core values, and a big one of it is being tough. And what that means is controlling the things you can control. And we cannot control this. I know that. So I'd be a hypocrite if I just sat here and complained. So trying to do a lot. I mean, I was watching film before this, like Duke Notre Dame 2019 quarterfinal game. And so every Wednesday we do
Zoom meetings and stuff.
We do Wisdom Wednesdays. We have themes. So the guys, our guys, you know, sometimes don't always have great memories. So, you know, Mondays, Mind Ray Mondays, Mind Ray Mondays we do all year, but even when we're in season, but digitally now we implemented Wisdom Wednesdays. We upload film on Huddle. We break it down for the guys. They can go on and look at, we don't have film from this year. So it's like, you know, what do we can't just show them film from last year's team. That's not this year's team. So we're just showing college film. So hopefully those guys can always tell our kids to find a couple college players that you really feel like, you know, you can implement.
Right.
Sometimes you have to guide them that way. And you know, hopefully watch those college games. So trying to do that.
Who you can emulate. That's what you mean. Right?
What'd you say?
Like who they can emulate. Like who they can mimic their games after.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. What's their skill set? And you know, as a high school player, and certainly doesn't mean to go out and, you know, do a question mark like Rob Pinnell, but like, is your body type that way? Are you gonna be that type of Dodger? You know, as a defenseman, how do you wanna play? You know, how do you wanna throw your checks? You know, how aggressive do you wanna be? It's just style of play. So tell the guys to try to pick three or four guys that you can really like watch and kind of try to copy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
That's all it is.
So in the lacrosse world, there was kind of like earth shattering news the other day when Hopkins and coach Petromala decided to part ways. Right. And you and I talked about it a little bit like via text, and I was like, whoa, this is, I mean, it just blindsided me. Now, I know that Hopkins hasn't had the recent success that they're sort of legendary for, but that threw me for a loop. What was your reaction when you heard that those guys were?
I mean, I think everyone
parting.
Was shocked. It was just, I think the timing of it too, right? You're not in the season, so you're not like they were. I think they were 2-4, right? I believe
they were struggling. I can't remember what the record was.
They were struggling, but like you said, it wasn't like maybe the end of the year would have been more on our mind to say, hey, maybe Petro or maybe
didn't they just win the conference like a year or two ago? Was it in 18 or something?
2 years ago, yeah, conference tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. We were texting and I was like, yeah, I'm surprised, but not that surprised. And I went and looked at the record and I'm like, I don't know. He's he was pretty damn good. He won 2 national titles. Like looking at his record, like all the All-Americans, he won 2, Big Ten titles. And I was like, when's the last time they went to the Final Four? Because that was kind of like my one thing. I was like, well, he hadn't been to the Final Four in 10 years. And I looked and I was like, well, they went in 2015. I was like, that was just 4 years ago. So
yeah.
All that said, I mean, he's one of the best coaches of all time. He's you look at social media now, everyone is speaking so highly of what type of relationships he had with his players.
I mean, if he wants to coach at the Division I level, he'll coach next year at Division I level. You know what I mean? If he wants to.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but does he want to be an assistant? I don't know about that. I don't know him personally, so I don't know what his personality is. But if you've been a head coach for
About a head coach. He may not be able to pick the job he wants, but he'll have offers.
Yeah, the thing is, what's opening up? That's the thing right now.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. Yes, if the season would have played out, teams would have lost or whatever, guys would have got fired, guys would have moved on. Guy would have said, hey, I can't take the recruiting grind. I'm stepping down. It all happens every summer. But, like, now everyone's on hold. Typically, like, May to, July is this coaching carousel, and sometimes it's bigger than others. But you're not really seeing that right now. And there was a lot of big changes the summer before. So, I don't know.
Guys on the hot seat kind of got a reprieve.
Oh, I know. Guys are probably like pumped. get another extra year. Of a paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't get to get fired.
Yeah. It's crazy. So I have a theory, though.
I don't know what he'll do. His son plays at Boys Latin. I've seen him play in the summer. He's a really good player. I know he's, involved in that a little bit, but, he's coached for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know his age, anything like that. Wish him well, but, I know his son's a really, really good player. So maybe
he ends up helping out there.
I tell you what, as a high school coach, I don't know if I could take Petro on my sideline as my volunteer. I might get a little nervous and just give him the whistle. And
right.
Say, you know what? You do it.
It's your thing.
I'm gonna go clip some film up for you guys.
So I was talking to a buddy about this, and they have a theory. And I'm not going to say who they are, but they're in the lacrosse world way more than me. And the theory is, and this is pure speculation and gossip. So just preface it by saying this is not based in reality. This is not based on fact. But this was the theory. That kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, that, look, Johns Hopkins is a difficult school to get into. And with the transfer portal being what it is, this could have been simply just kind of a situation with administration and coach having a fight over, kids they were going to be able to pursue through the portal and through all of this influx of potential players out there, right? This could just be where it just finally just got to a head, right? So, like, there'd been frustration on both sides. And there's so many potential players out here to grab. And, I don't know how many exceptions you get to go. I mean, how many of those kids, God bless them, at Hopkins would get in if it weren't for lacrosse? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to disparage them. But I know, like, my daughter plays volleyball, and they're not really getting an exception to play volleyball at Hopkins. If she wants to play there, she's got to get in on her own.
Yeah. But what's the difference between, like, the Ivy League schools? I mean, they don't have that many exceptions either. You could be successful there.
Say that you can't be successful, but it's to say that I could see this maybe being the tipping point where you just kind of get frustrated with it all. I don't know. Yeah. It's a theory.
It could be. I mean, it could be a number of things. He's been there a long time. I mean, I think the biggest stress point there is you're competing against Big Ten. You're in the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
And you're not a Big Ten school.
Right. You don't have the same.
You don't have. I mean, you're competing resources. Against Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan built a lacrosse facility. Ohio State's building a lacrosse stadium. Like these, and Hopkins has a home.
Hopkins
field
has
and,
that. They've got.
Oh, I know that, but they don't. They don't have what Ohio State has from an overall campus.
You don't have the wow factor when you look at the gym
factor,
and everything.
But you have the tradition that Ohio State or the Michigan, for example, doesn't have. So I'm not saying it could be an equalizer, but so I mean, total speculation. You have no idea. I mean, I felt like it was a couple years ago they were 7-7 or 8-8. And I mean, there were rumors then, but the timing of it is just really weird. It's just like, you have a generational player, in my opinion, and Joey Epstein.
Who was hurt in coach's defense, was hurt this year.
That's what I'm saying, but tough playing through it. I mean, I watched a couple games while in quarantine. He was on one of them, and he could tell he wasn't dodging, he wasn't moving,
wasn't playing that much. He was only playing man up at sometimes.
He didn't play early on in the game I saw. And they were getting smoked. I can't remember what game it was, but
right.
You know, he had a brace on. He wasn't moving that well.
Right.
And I mean, he's a Landon kid. He played in this area. We all saw him not only play in high school, but saw him shoot every single day you drove.
Like
past.
Legendary work ethic. Yeah.
Yeah. Legendary. I mean, an absolute just beast. And I'm sure Petro being there was a big reason that kid came.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And he's also got not only him, he's got legendary assistants.
Yeah.
Right? He's got two guys that have been there for a really long time. It's like, I'd imagine they're just going to say, you know what? They're all done. If they're going to move on from Petro, why wouldn't they?
If you say you're going to go in a different direction,
that means all those guys are gone.
Yeah, I would think. And you don't wish that. But yeah, that's what it sounds like.
But
right?
All three of those guys, Petro included, are all guys, like you said, could get jobs wherever they want, especially the assistants. But
yeah.
I just don't know what's, you know.
What's going to be available.
I'm not, I don't claim to be, on the ground floor as far as hearing rumors and things like that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
well, listen, so we didn't even touch on the PLL and pro lacrosse. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the first episode in the can. I think it went well. You excited?
Yeah, I'm pumped. It's good.
I can't wait to do it. We wanted to do sort of the first show where we just kind of kick things around, introduce ourselves, where we come from. Again, Dane's the lacrosse guy. I'm just the lacrosse dad that loves the sport. But we love it. We have a huge passion for it. We're going to try to get a guest every week if we can. And we'll try to get some great ones. We have some good connections, so I think we'll be, you know, successful at that. I want to thank Tom Daly because he's going to be handling all this over at 106.7 The Fan. So we have a great platform here, right? Because I work at an amazing radio station, and we're also on NBC Sports Washington. And my program director over there, Chris Kinard, and Tom Daly does a lot of the digital stuff. They're going to support this show. They're going to put it on all their platforms. It's going to be on radio.com. It's going to be on iTunes, Google Play, all that great stuff. And that's awesome. Right?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's so great. So I got to thank them.
That's all you.
Well, no, I got to thank them. Yeah. But anyway, I can't wait to do this. We're going to try to do this every week. Hopefully we have an amazing guest next week. Is there anything else you want to add, Coach?
No, to, the listeners that we do get, the lacrosse junkies of the world, keep your head up, stay positive. We'll get our sport back here, hopefully, sooner than later. But, I know we're all in it together. So no, it's going to be awesome.
All right, let me play a little of that, Coldplay on the way out.
This is my walkout signing. Song in college.
This was your choice. You said this has got to be our song.
This is the swirling wind, the snow, the rain, the sleet of ice in Robert Morris Stadium.
All right, for Dane Smith, I'm Eric Bickle. We will see you next time. Be safe out there, everybody. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.